This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Good morning, San Diego. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. We're going to be here for the next hour talking about all kinds of stuff going on in your yard and garden. Good morning, guys.
Good morning, fellas. How are we?
I'm good.
Good morning.
I'm good, too.
Good morning. I'm doing well.
You guys staying cool in Poway?
Nope. It was hot yesterday.
It was quite warm.
Lots of temperature records tied or slightly exceeded, but nothing. It wasn't that bad.
But
well, days are short.
But it's supposed to rain?
Tuesday, perhaps.
Monday. Well, I heard Monday originally, but I guess they're changing their tune.
That's why we do not put down fertilizer until it starts to rain or until we're a little more certain of the forecast.
Yeah, see, usually I don't want to go out and put fertilizer down when it's raining.
Yeah.
I would prefer to stay in the house.
I understand, but if you want to make sure that the rain is going to water it into your soil for you, well, typically we have to wait till it is actually raining.
And you have to make sure that you're going to get enough rain that it's going to water it.
Yeah, exactly. I figure what the heck. If it doesn't, then you're going to have to water anyway, so then you can just follow up with your irrigation.
Well,
that's my theory.
You could do that, too.
You're sticking to it.
That's my theory, and I'm sticking to it. I think there was moon last night. Beautiful, clear nights, though. And it has been warmer at night, so I'm not freezing in the morning.
No, it was actually, as I was driving in this morning, it was 56 coming across Miramar, so it's not
that's not bad at all. No.
And it was either Venus or a jet. I can't.
It's Venus. I think it was Venus.
It's really bright this morning.
I keep doing that every morning when I go down to let out the chickens is it moving? Nope, yeah. That's not a jet coming in.
Yeah, it was pretty bright.
I do have, after the cold of the last few weeks, I have some footprints in my lawn/clover from where I walked across it while it was frozen, and now those footprints are dead.
That's funny.
You crushed it.
Yes. Yeah, I had quite a bit of cold or frost at my house after... I think we talked about it once, that the frost advisory was for one day,
right?
And I had very little frost, but the subsequent 3 or 4 days, I had a lot of it.
We lost a papaya.
You did?
From the top down, just black.
Wow. My neighbor's papaya is still intact, and it has only had minimal
damage
to the top of it this year.
We haven't had hardly any frost out at my house, although my Bermuda lawn has gone dormant, so now I can see where all the... nuts edges.
No. Yeah.
So I can go through and I got to go through and spray it all. Get rid of those green patches all over the place.
Can we go away from garden for a moment?
Sure.
Mark Mahady?
Yes.
Super Bowl. I'm sorry. The really, really, really big game.
Well, I mean, I know we're in Southern California, but I'm rooting for the Bengals.
Well, I obviously.
Right.
Who's going to win, though?
The Bengals.
Okay. Bye.
Field goal.
Excellent. All right. You've heard it here. So now go bet that other team.
Exactly.
Mark has taken the
Bengals. Go bet the Rams.
Okay. Go Bengals.
Should be a good game.
Yeah. It should be interesting.
Yeah. Let's see. What do we have going on today? Garden classes in both stores in San Diego at 9 o'clock. It's going to be garden bed preparation with Richard. And in Poway, we have a special guest presenter, and the class is going to be How Orchids Rebloom, and it's going to be with Chuck McClung, and he will also have his books there and will be signing books after the class as well. Monday the 14th is Valentine's Day. If you haven't picked something up, both stores are going to be open and have all kinds of stuff that you could pick up for your
last-minute shopping.
Yeah, we have lots of roses, but they're not cut flowers.
No, lots of roses,
they're
but not
plants.
In bloom.
Yeah,
but,
they're coming along.
And both stores do have some gift ideas as well.
Oh, very, very true.
Let's see. Next weekend, Saturday, February 19th at 9 o'clock, it's going to be planting citrus with Chris in San Diego. And at 9:30, it's going to be staghorn fern care with you.
Dun, da, da, da. Yeah.
Should be a good class.
It'll be all right.
Yeah.
Normally, we like to wait until we have good storms to knock staghorns out of people's trees and off their walls.
When they get too heavy to pick up.
Yes.
Yeah. And then Monday, February 21st is President's Day, and both of the stores are open regular hours.
With gifts for President's Day?
Yeah, if you want to get a gift for President's Day.
And Sharp Orthopedic Physical Therapy will be closed in honor of President's Day that day. There will be no physical therapy.
Oh.
In case you're wondering.
Okay, well, yeah. Right.
Grossmont Orthopedics, not Sharp.
I was going to say.
I just thought it was strange that they would, anyway.
That they would close?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a holiday.
Yeah.
It's a
everybody's
holiday.
Looking for a day off.
All right. All right.
Let's see. Under the San Diego Botanical Garden Foundation website, today and tomorrow, San Diego County Cactus and Succulent Society is having their show and sale in Balboa Park in the patio and also in room 101, I think is the.
That's the one.
The 101 in Costa del Prado. And next weekend, the 26th and the 27th, and I might actually have to go to this, the Mycological Society is having their fungus fair. And that is a fascinating, fascinating show.
Now, was that the, is that a rescheduled fungus fair or was the other, oh no, it was the orchid show.
The orchid show got canceled because of
COVID.
Of COVID. Yeah. Although March is right around the corner, so that means the big orchid show.
Correct.
Should be coming up. I don't know. That's not listed under the botanical gardens.
That's usually
usually at the Scottish Rite Center.
Thank you. I couldn't think of the name of it.
Although I heard they might tear that down.
Oh, really? Well, yeah. I guess with all the redevelopment they're talking about down in Mission.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're doing.
It's hard. It's hard to say. Hard to say. If you want to give us a call today. I don't know what the phone number is.
888-344-1170. Give us a call.
I did not have my cheat sheet.
344-1170.
Let's see.
Can we talk? We're spending the day tomorrow in Balboa Park, actually.
What are you looking for?
Just Balboa Park.
Just to go hang out.
I'm going to go into the science center first and then other things. Okay. The Super Bowl means nothing.
I'm not sure why this came up, but may I talk Fig Newtons for a moment?
I was just going to ask you about that.
So, where does the name Fig Newton come from? Well, Fig Newtons were created in 1891 by the Kennedy Biscuit Works in Cambridgeport, Massachusetts. They had named many of their other cookies for nearby towns and almost called it the Fig Shrewsbury before Newton won out.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
It does it?
Well, yeah, just from a local town.
I guess so. I would have preferred Shrewsbury.
Yeah, the Taming of the Shrewsbury. Yeah. Would have been sounds like something from a Willy Wonka movie. Schnozberries, different. What are you looking at me like that,
well, because
George?
I've been scheduling classes, I've been doing things, and every time I mention a class, you say something about Fig Newtons. Now I understand why. You've been waiting to say that.
Yes.
All week, you've been wanting to tell somebody about this. Let you say it.
You know, it's really more of like a cake, I think, according to their commercials. I like my Fig Newtons, and I had some this week, and then for some reason I thought, I think that's because of a town. So I looked it up and
you were correct.
Lo and behold, it was because of a town. Now, how many bee parts do you think are in there, or wasp parts?
Oh, God, who knows? They're kind of crunchy, though.
So are the seeds inside, so you'll never know.
That's good. That's probably very, 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 very good. Although it's probably extra fiber. So it's probably good for you. Well, there's plenty of fiber in figs anyway.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
In garden-related news, it looks like ladybugs are going to be in short supply this year.
Yeah, I saw that too, yeah.
What's the reason behind that? Supply chain stuck on ships in Long Beach Harbor?
Just the fires.
Years of drought and extreme fires have resulted in dismal collection seasons, while costs for collecting have nearly doubled in the past 2 years.
Huh.
So... Yeah, so if you want ladybugs in your yard when they're in stock, buy them because they're not going to be readily available from what it sounds like.
One of the our two suppliers, our primary suppliers of ladybugs, is sent out the warning. And the other one, we seem to be doing all right. Our primary source is still sourcing.
Still doing okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So just be aware of that as we get closer into the season.
You know, if all else fails, just use chemicals. Better insect control through chemicals.
Through chemicals.
Through science.
Through science.
Let's see. We're gonna go to the phones where Barbara is waiting. Good morning, Barbara. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're good. What can we do for you?
Okay. I noticed a big old dark-colored worm munching on one of my tomatoes yesterday, and I'm not used to seeing dark worms on a tomato, so I just wanted to know. I looked it up, and some are calling it an army worm. Some other names for it, if it's the right thing, because it's a kind of a dark brown, and it has on the sides going down either side a tan stripe, and then a smaller light stripe running along the side too.
Hmm. Is your tomato plant near a compost pile?
No.
I don't know.
I'm not sure which one that would be, but right. if you see it and it's eating your tomatoes,
it's not good.
Yeah. And I would probably treat the tomatoes with either spinosad or BT. That should take care of it.
Yeah.
Okay, or so if you see it and you can pick it off, just
I know that's just gross. Step on
it. I'm looking at it in an envelope right now. So.
Well, are you going to mail it? army worms do have a stripe down the side, but I don't know them being super dark. I mean, they're greenish but not dark.
This one's definitely not green.
It could be an army worm, but they certainly have that line going down the side of them.
And it's a nice fat one. It's probably about 3/4 of an inch long.
We shouldn't call
them half an inch long.
We shouldn't call them fat. It hurts them. You could say it's larger than the average worm, but let's not call it names.
Yeah, but
it's got curves. Yeah, okay.
The BT will take care of it.
The BT will take care of all the larvae that things are eating that, your plants.
Yeah, exactly. without hurting any of the beneficial insects that might
or,
be in the
or
area.
Affecting your tomato.
Yeah.
So you don't know where it might have come from, or because you asked.
I'm guessing a moth probably laid an egg there at some point.
Yeah,
in time.
It's a moth.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So just BT, and then so just start spraying it now. That's the only one I saw on there, and it was eating the top of the tomato. It wasn't like eating the leaves like most worms do.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I would go ahead and treat the plants now. That should take care of it.
In case there's other eggs down on the other foliage. But is it eating tomatoes or the actual fruit?
Yeah, they'll eat the tomatoes. They'll eat strawberries as well.
See, that's your problem. You shouldn't be having tomatoes in your yard right
now.
This one is left over from last year. It's part of it survived, and it's going crazy. It's growing like nuts right now.
Yeah, this weather.
It's enjoying the weather.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's got two small green tomatoes, and I found it munching on the top of one of them.
Yeah. Spray it.
Yeah, go
ahead.
Give
it some BT.
Give it some BT. That'll take care of it, and that'll take care of any other immature ones that are too small for you to see at this point in time.
Well, so it'll kill the larvae, the eggs or the larvae?
It won't kill the eggs as they emerge.
Only the larvae when it starts feeding.
Yes.
Okay, all right. How often should I spray that?
If there's problems on there, once a week.
Okay.
If you see
in accordance with the label.
Well, I think that's what they
say. Yeah, I think it's once a week.
Because the label
All right. Read the label.
Okay. And can I spray too long, or just keep spraying until the tomato is done for the year?
No. When you see problems, spray in accordance with the label directions. But if you just saw one, you could spray it. And if there are any other eggs emerge or hatch this week, then it'll take care of them as they begin to feed. But that's probably all you're going to need to do for at least the next few weeks to a month, maybe more.
And you can look around too on your under the leaves and such. The their egg mass looks like a bunch of like cotton candy.
Okay.
Almost like white fly stuff.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Okay. Thanks, Barbara. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Okay. Bye. Take care. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Ullman.
In the summertime, when the weather is hot, you can just ride up and touch the sky.
When the weather's hot, you got women, on your mind.
Have a drink, have a drive, go out and see what you can find.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Ullman. I saw an interesting story. Let me see if I can find it here.
While you're looking for that interesting story, this reminds me of going to Little League practice and Mr. Idle's Continental with the suicide doors on it.
Oh, the backseat
door? Yeah, they open backwards.
Yep. Yeah, you don't want to whip those open when you're flying down the road.
But you do want to rip all the other doors open while you're driving down the road. Just not the suicide doors.
What did I do with
that? You've got the right...
And it had like an LCD speedometer. It was like a silver thermometer marking that went up as...
Oh, I don't remember that.
That's it. That's it? I was just waiting for you to find that.
Okay, found it. Interesting article about Knott's Berry Farm, which was started by Walter and Cordelia Knott in the early part of the 20th century. And it was about boysenberries. And boysenberry is actually a hybrid between a blackberry, a loganberry, and a raspberry. And it was hybridized by, where's the guy's name? His last name was Boysen.
Go figure.
And
that kind of makes sense.
And yeah, it was Rudolf Boysen, and he was really good friends with the Knotts, and he gave the plants to them, and they started growing them at Knott's Berry Farm.
Interesting.
And that's where boysenberries came from. Yeah, Rudolf Boysen.
Yeah, he had a farm in Anaheim.
Yeah, exactly. But I think it was about 1932 that came up. So.
Huh.
I did not.
That's pretty cool.
I did not know that until I just happened across it.
And yeah. Boysens are extremely productive down here, and yeah. I guess up there too.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. We just redid all our cane berries, cleaned out all the last year's canes, and tied up the new ones, and are looking at flowers all over them already.
Already?
Already.
Wow.
Pretty exciting.
Well, this week has been a big week for all sorts of things. My plum trees that were showing no signs of anything a week ago now are covered with buds that are going to open within the next day or two.
Yeah, you texted me 2 days ago, I think, asking about the Santa Rosa, and I said they're just starting, and I went out last night, and they are just
covered.
Covered. It's amazing.
Yeah, heat's been...
Apricots open, everything this week, and the plums, though, have just pushed like crazy.
Yeah, it's getting very pretty in the orchard right now.
On a sad note, as far as boysenberries are concerned, Rudolf Boysen never made a nickel off of his discovery.
Yeah, but we use his name all the time. He's popular.
He lives on in history.
Yes.
In
everybody's garden.
Yeah.
Well, not everybody.
I did notice that the weeping cherries that we got in from Monrovia are starting to bloom.
Those are very pretty as well.
They really are. Another one that... We've got quite a few of them, and they don't sell real quickly right now, but in just a couple of weeks, they're going to be flying out the door as the forsythias.
Yeah.
We got a lot of forsythias, and they've got a lot of buds on them. And when they're in bloom, they are beautiful plants. Really, really pretty.
Right.
They stand out.
Yeah, bright yellow. There's not a lot of
yellow.
There's not a lot of yellow flowers in the garden.
Yeah, there are. I mean, we got the Tacomas.
Yeah, well, that's more of a tree.
The shrubs.
Yeah. Today, the argumentative portion will be played by George.
David's going to take a back seat. Too.
Daffodils.
Daffodils. I've got a bunch of those up right now.
Okay, I'll shut up.
No, 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 no.
Yarrows.
No, Man,
Yarrow's. Yeah, Yarrow's come in all the colors now. Nice. I mean, it used to be that sun, what is it called?
Moonshine. Well, I have a lot of yellow, and so when he said that, I started picturing the yard going, oh, there's a lot of things.
I guess
in yellow.
I just don't have a lot of yellow in my yard.
There you go.
HLB, the path forward?
Yeah.
Go ahead. I don't remember the story.
Well, I thought you're the one that gave it to me. So.
Well, then give it back.
HLB, what is HLB?
Well, citrus greening.
Oh, I know. Huang,
Long, Bing.
Huang,
There are some
new
possibilities on the horizon.
Oh, very good.
So they are working in Florida where this started, what, 20, 30 years ago?
No, it's about, I saw a date somewhere, and I think we're about in California. I think we're about 15 years into it.
Okay, they are working on many different avenues, and what they were trying to come up with was what are we doing? Not that there's cures available yet, but they're working on. This is yours, George. They're working on peptides.
They're working on peptides.
Yeah, but what do you say when I say peptides?
Did I say microbial?
Antimicrobial and plant defense inducing peptides are being developed by many companies to provide near-term management of HLB, which that's what they're working on, rootstocks to help with that. So we will see. It doesn't seem to be as dire right now as it seemed 3 or 4 years ago. There are cures or
on the horizon.
Yeah, they're doing things with breeding.
The insect that brought it here wasn't detected in California till 2008, so we didn't know about it really here before that.
That was the date that I remember seeing, and I think they found it. Didn't they find it originally down in like in Sweetwater area? I thought
in San Diego County. It was along the southern edge. From Sweetwater River Valley, I think over and towards Hamul.
It only took 10 years to get here from Florida. It was detected in Florida in 1998. 10 years later, we had it.
98 was when HLB?
No, the insect. I don't know when it wasn't speaking.
I thought it was longer ago than that. Maybe not. Everything seems longer ago than that.
The older you get, yeah.
But the HLB, citrus greening disease, is here. It is fatal for citrus. It causes them to decline and fruit not to ripen properly.
But most people don't have that.
Correct. The disease itself is
very rare.
Yeah. In Southern California.
As soon as you start talking about it, everybody thinks that's true.
And if you see a psyllid, that doesn't mean your tree is infected.
Correct.
But that is the control for preventing the spread of HLB is to control the psyllid. And so it is incumbent upon all citrus growers to control the citrus psyllid. And horticultural oil right now will do a good job of that, or day after tomorrow when the warm weather cools down, or use the Monterey oil right now, it should be fine. But backyard growers controlling the psyllid will help slow or prevent the spread until they come up with some kind of a control for us.
And we typically recommend spraying citrus with horticultural oil 2 or 3 times a year, I can almost guarantee you that you have some kind of insect on your citrus tree that you just don't notice.
Correct. Citrus in San Diego, I mean, you're going to get insects.
Yeah, but the horticultural oil is great stuff because it's not a poison. It suffocates the insects, so you can have a tree loaded with fruit. Go out and spray it, and then as soon as you shut the hose off, you can go and pick the fruit, wash it off, and eat it.
I'm smiling at you because Monday my neighbor said, look, my ficus tree is doing poorly. What's wrong with it? And it was losing leaves. So I walked over to her house and checked it out, and it was scale.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was wiping it out from one side to the other, and I told them it was a big tree, so that it would be hard for them to have sprayed that with horticultural oil.
Yes.
And I suggested the systemic, and then she's decided she's going to chainsaw prune that one and put a fruit tree
cut
in its place.
Yeah.
But then I went down and I said, you probably have, she asked me why one of her citrus trees died, and I said it was probably scale. And I went down and looked at the citrus trees, and they were just covered with scale.
Yeah.
One of the worst infestations you would ever see, all over the fruit, all over the leaves, and she hadn't noticed it. mean, yeah. it's just
again, yeah.
But that happens quite often. I think I shared last week, David and I did a class for the Carlsbad Garden Club on citrus, and we had a leftover branch that was covered with scale. I was helping a customer with some other things, and she showed me a couple pictures of her citrus saying, my citrus doesn't look good, but we just transplanted it. You know, is it shock? And I said, it could be. Let me show you something. So I showed her that stick. I said, this is covered in insects. And she looked at it. Didn't see anything. Yeah. She goes, I don't see anything. So I started scraping. And then I opened my phone to as a photo at large. And she looked at it. And she goes, oh, my God, that's what my tree looks like. And so she went home with horticultural oil.
I was disappointed in that presentation.
In the one that we did?
Yeah. We had numerous people say that it was helpful.
Yeah, we tried not to be helpful.
I did take home a ready-to-spray Monterey horticultural oil and the 1 gallon refill, left it on their gate last night. So hopefully those scales on their citrus will be gone soon.
But back to the psyllid, we want people to spray prophylactically, get out there and do it because we want our citrus to survive. And I'm planting more and more, and I want it to make
it
to
maturity. You don't want to spread, exactly.
That's correct. But I would say not prophylactically because the bugs have to be there for that oil to work.
Well, when I say that, I mean go out there and a couple times a year, you want to spray just get out there and spray.
The commercial groves are doing an excellent job of controlling the psyllids, so they are not part of the major part of the problem.
Right.
It is almost every backyard has a citrus tree in it, and we are going to be the important controls
here. People are going to move their fruit.
If HLB is found in a tree in somebody's backyard, they will go through and eradicate all citrus within, 1,000 feet?
1,000 or 1,500 feet.
Right. Of your house.
Yes.
So,
that means your neighbors are losing their trees.
But like your neighborhood is going to get
going to
get wiped out. So,
peer pressure.
Keep an eye on it.
It's a tiny little bug.
Yeah, like you said, most people aren't going to know. And if you don't know, bring it in to the nursery, take pictures of it. But most people aren't going to have it.
Yeah.
People aren't going to have the disease.
Correct.
But most people will have
the
psyllid that spreads it.
Correct.
And again, just because you have the psyllid doesn't mean you're going to get the disease. No different than you're not going to get malaria just because you were bit by a mosquito.
Yeah.
It has to have bitten a tree, or it has to be infected.
Most likely that's not happening to your tree. I mean, you may have issues with your citrus, but typically, that's not the problem.
Right.
It's usually water or insects, and we can help you figure it out. But it is because once you say that, people automatically think that they have
the only place in San Diego County that they have confirmed HLB is up near Camp Pendleton on its way down from Orange County
or Riverside.
Yes. No, nowhere else in the county.
You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. Fran, stay on the line. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be talking to you when we come back right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
Got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me, I didn't look the same. But it's all right now, I learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to go up to Vista where Fran is waiting. Good morning, Fran. How are you?
I'm, but I wanted to ask a question about the roses. We were told that we need to spray and do everything by February the 14th, but I had to put it off because of all this extreme heat, which I thought it's not good to spray during that time period. Then we're going to have rain. Am I in deep trouble?
Probably
deep,
not.
Deep
no,
trouble.
No, no, no.
Government
no,
agents.
Government agents. Government agents are going to enforce that. No, don't worry about it. Just do it when you can.
Okay.
And
okay.
The February 14th is it's more like a guideline, really.
It's a way to help you remember because they're associated with that day for some reason and helps you remember that I should do something with my roses and make sure they're done.
Although if they have started leafing out like ours have, I probably wouldn't dormant spray them at this point in time. I would go ahead and prune them. You could give them a shot of the horticultural oil, would take care of any insects that would be overwintering. But if they're leafing out, I would avoid the heavy-duty dormant spray at this point.
Spray them at the growing season rate on the label. Yeah. Not the dormant season rate.
Yeah.
There's foliage on
there. There's two sprays that I'm supposed to do. One is the oils and something else.
A fungicide of some sort.
Copper, perhaps, yeah.
Yes. Okay. All right. Thank you, guys. Love listening to you, as usual.
Thank you very much, Fran. Have a great weekend.
And happy Valentine's Day to all.
Oh, thank you. Same to you.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Go Bengals.
Exactly.
If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. I was out looking over
your dead dog Rover.
No, the roses are growing like crazy right now.
Yeah,
we have quite a number with buds on them. Ken's bride and I were out there looking at it yesterday, trying to figure out which one's going to give us the first.
Who's going to bloom first?
I love doing that. Typically every year, going out there and see the first one to flower.
See which one's going to be the first to show color. We got some really nice osmanthus fragrance in from somebody. I don't know who was growing them, but it's one of my favorite plants just because the flowers, even though it's an interesting plant because the flowers are completely inconspicuous and
unnoticeable.
And unnoticeable.
Yeah.
But the fragrance is unreal.
You smell them from many, many, many feet away.
Yeah, it's one of the most fragrant plants.
You'll smell them before you see them.
Yeah, but the plant's just
ugly.
It's an ugly plant.
I'm sorry, that's not fair. It's not attractive.
It's not an attractive plant.
Much like
in
us.
The wrong situation, the tip burns. It gets.
What's the best culture for them?
They have
partial shade.
Foliage made for radio.
They do.
But in Asia, there's an osmanthus sauce that they make with the flour. Yes, you can buy it. You actually can buy it.
And what do we do with it?
You make cookies with it. You put it on.
So it's like
it's sweet.
I was gonna say like honey almost.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh.
Have you had osmanthus sauce?
I have had osmanthus sauce.
Excellent.
I think it was in Hong Kong, but
that's interesting.
I've never heard of that.
There's
another tree or plant that is kind of like that, and my parents' neighbors have a big Michaelia champaca.
Oh, yeah.
And mm-hmm. I can smell that. I mean, it's 100 feet away.
But that's actually a good-looking tree.
Yes, it is.
It can be.
The flowers are somewhat inconspicuous.
They're inconspicuous, but man, the fragrance on them is unreal.
It really travels.
Yeah.
You know another one that's like that is Claria?
Mm-hmm.
Claria japonicus. Yellow flowers, again. But
yellow?
Yeah.
I thought there were no yellow flowers.
There were no yellow flowers, Mark. We're not listening to the show.
Where have all the yellow flowers?
Well, they're inconspicuous.
But they smell good.
They do smell good. We used to have that big one in the shade house out in Point Loma. That used to grow along. I mean, it was just a big 15-gallon overgrown. It wasn't even particularly attractive because just the way it was growing. But all of a sudden, you walk outside there and you can just smell it.
Oh, I planted one. I planted one outside my back door. For that very reason, it's a nice looking plant. It's super full. It's about 6 feet tall. It's never bloomed in the 20 years that it's been there.
Really?
And I think maybe it's because it's in constant shade. I mean,
so it doesn't get any.
It doesn't get any direct sunlight at all. I think that might be part of the problem. But Claire is a really nice plant. It's a really good plant.
And it's not
readily available
correct
right now.
And people
not a lot of people growing it.
No.
It's in the camellia family.
Correct.
If I'm not mistaken.
You are absolutely right.
Yeah. And because it gets no sun, does it look great? Does the foliage look really nice on it?
Oh, it's really pretty. I mean, it's a really nice big plant, but and it's full. But.
For this and other plants you can't get, listen to Garden Talk.
The osmanthus, though, the sweet olive, right,
yes.
is another
yes.
comment. Whenever I walk around and smell it, I want to get one. But when,
yeah. And then you go look at
and
it.
And then you look at it. It's like, where would I put this that I can get the scent but not see it?
Put it behind something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like
the power box.
What's the other one? Night blooming jasmine. Incredible fragrance to the flowers. Really, really strong fragrance, almost too strong if it gets too big. But it's an ugly plant.
I remember a shovel prune story about that plant.
Your dad in the middle of the night.
My dad got up and ripped the one out from behind the house and threw it into the alley.
While he could still smell.
When he could still smell. The fragrance on Cestrum is, it's wonderful, but man, it can be overpowering.
I remember growing up in
two of them.
The house that I'm in now, and there's one outside the window that every right before school started, it would overpowering actually.
The foliage looks like a peach or a nectarine.
It does.
Yeah, it does.
When the bugs slugs and snails
exactly.
aren't
exactly.
Oh yeah, mealybugs. Mealybugs on mine.
Yeah, it can be a bug magnet.
So, oh yeah.
So once again, that's another one of those plants that if you have.
If you have
an area where you can tuck it behind some other good-looking plants, you can enjoy the fragrance and not have to look at the ratty appearance of the plant itself. Let's see, what else did we have?
What other ugly
did you see the hydrangeas in the center of the store? The florist hydrangeas, the pinks and the blues mixed with the stargazer lilies, I think they were.
Yeah. Those are fragrant.
Yeah, we've got... I kept walking through customer service yesterday, and I could smell... smell something
and it was not I
no it wasn't you because this was actually a
pleasant smell. Yeah, I was gonna say, well,
thank you,
but it was somebody had a vase full of I think they're stargazer lilies on the back wall behind customer service, and it filled the entire area with that lily fragrance.
Do you like the lily fragrance, or is it bit much?
No, it's okay. I'm okay with
all
it.
Right. Yeah, so where do you stand, David? It sounds like you would say it's a bit much.
I think it's a bit much.
Yeah. What I don't like about lilies is the pollen.
Oh, when you put
get it anywhere on you or your clothes, I mean,
invariably, we'll have customers with pollen on their noses because people want to go smell the lily, and then they have pollen on their noses.
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
Yeah,
it's and
keep your nose out of
of our flowers.
And that's why when you get lilies from the florist, usually
they take
the stamens off.
Yeah,
because it's bad stuff. I mean, it really stains.
Well, you could take it and put it in a little jar and tell people it's saffron. Uh-huh. I mean, it wouldn't be, but you could tell them that.
I guess you could tell them that, although it doesn't look anything like it.
No.
We did have some really nice. 15-gallon leptospermum in stock. I don't know where Brian found those, but they were.
I do. They're gorgeous.
They're really pretty, and they're in full bloom. And they
tree form
and columns.
Both. Oh, okay. We had both. We had both columns and patio trees.
Really nice 15 gallons. As
did we
nice
talk about that last week? Because
I think we did a little bit. He also brought some nice 5 gallons.
Because I said they were Helen Striblings, and you said
no. I noticed you pausing when you started to say what they were. They were mislabeled.
Okay.
And I did not know what variety it was.
Are they apple blossoms?
They might be, but they are not Helen Striblings.
They're not Helen Striblings.
It's a very easy-to-identify flower.
That.
But I was helping a customer yesterday or the day before out there, and we have the Red Sentinel in, which is a less common variety. It is deep red, the same deep red of Ruby Glow, but it's a single flower. And because it's a single flower, it's kind of a standout.
I don't think I saw that.
There's some out there in gallons right now, and it is a really neat, it's like Helen Stribling, but it's in a deep blood red.
Burgundy.
We were supposed to get, I'll have to look and see if they came in, but when Matthew was in from San Marcos Growers last week, they had some of the ground cover leptospermum. Have you seen that?
Oh,
no.
Not recently, but is it?
He had it in five gallons, and
were they staked or were they low?
No, they were low. I mean, they were. It was spilling out of the pot.
We have the one in the Garden Railway in Poway,
mm-hmm.
and we used to get them staked up, and then they would drape down. Okay. It makes a nice weeping willow over the pond,
mm-hmm.
And I think it's Leptospermum.
Rubestri? Is that it?
No, that's not what I'm thinking of. Oh, okay. I'm not. Do you know the species name of the one?
I don't.
It was a
really pretty plant.
It also makes a very nice miniature weeping tree if you stake it up and let it trail down.
Yeah, these weren't staked. It was basically can full and spilling out of the can. But the foliage is a little bit smaller than the scopariums.
We did get some really nice weeping. Not weeping, whale tails from San Marcos growers. They have
whale
2 gallons. It's a Sansevieria, the real broad form Sansevieria.
Oh, I didn't see that.
And I think we only got a half a dozen or so. And I talked to Ted, and they got them at the other store as well. So both stores have them, but they were disappearing very quickly. He told me they had 30 more. And I asked him to hold all 30 of them. He sent me a picture of them. They're slightly smaller than what we have now, but that's one of air quotes, those plants right now.
Right.
No. Popular. Very cool.
Mason's Congo is its real name, I think. And it's called whale fin or whale tail. Real broad form.
Yeah, much different than a regular Sansevieria or snake plant.
We'll have to check that out.
Horizontalis, I think, is the one I was thinking of. I think you're right.
If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
Roses are red, my love. Violets are blue. Sugar is sweet, my love, but not as sweet as you.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
That's an early relationship song. Valentine's song.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to give us a call, sorry.
If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. Was, again, walking around, looking at some of the different stuff that we have in the store. A couple of weekends ago, Melanie and I went to the zoo. A big mistake. It was just way too people-y.
I'm so used to not having to deal with people.
Good on them. It was packed. I mean, I think a lot of it is people are just, they just want to get out and,
exactly.
and do stuff.
Get out and do stuff.
You know, they're outside. So anyway, as always, the place looked spectacular. But we were walking around through over on towards the Africa Rock side. And I looked up, and there was this really beautiful tree growing on the side. And we stopped to take a look at it because I wanted to figure out what it was. And it was a moringa.
Okay.
I mean, it's a really, really pretty tropical-looking tree when it gets big. We have some in 5 gallons, right? Some 5 gallons right now. At the store, and they just don't look like much.
Well, they don't like winter, but I'm guessing it was warm enough on the mesa there.
It must have been warm enough up there, but the foliage gets much bigger than it does when it's right now. The 5 gallons, the foliage is kind of small and puny looking, but when it grows into a decent sized tree, it's a really, really pretty tree. So I still don't know what the big attraction of moringa is.
Isn't it a superfood?
Yeah, it is.
Isn't
it supposed it is, to it is because yeah. everything is supposed to be edible.
Yeah, so you can the leaves,
the seeds, the roots. I mean, everything is useful.
Yule Gibbons was way ahead of his time.
He really was.
It's a good looking tree, and they weren't overly huge. I mean, it was maybe 12, 15 feet tall.
Do you know what I did this week?
No.
I planted one of my 4 avocados that I've been nursing for over a year. I put it into the ground finally.
Very good.
Well, that's a surefire way to get rid of it.
It was gem. I finally planted my gem.
Is that the one we bought together 2, 3, 4, 6 years ago?
And it wasn't that many. Okay. It was between 1 and 2.
Okay.
It was probably 16 months ago. But I think what we are overlooking here is the fact that it's still alive. It's alive. I kept it watered for over a year in a container.
Right.
Yes. Now I just have 3 more to go. And I violated my solemn oath not to buy any bare root trees this year until I got all 4 avocados planted. But I did plant my green gauge plum, and it is pushing, my elephant heart plum,
right.
And it is pushing foliage and buds right now as well.
We did have green gauge plums in 5 gallons.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
I might have to get one of those. I don't know where I'm going to put it. Yeah, I used to have a...
Leave it in the container in the side yard.
I used to have a red leaf plum in the mow strip next to the driveway when I built the house. But, of course, they don't live very long, so it disappeared. But that was a really pretty tree.
Very, very nice-looking foliage to contrast against
nice
the greens.
And, when they bloom, they're beautiful.
Correct.
And they grow fast, so the fact that they're short-lived, they fulfill their destiny quickly, so you can enjoy them and then replace them if need be. But it's still a nice looking plant. And I guess if you want to do it with a fruit tree, you could do it with
spicy nectar plum.
You get the red foliage, fruit.
Yeah, that's true.
And the peach leaf curl that you don't necessarily get on the red plum.
That's true.
Although there's that midge that gets on red plum.
Yes.
Another interesting little plant that I spotted in the store is Louisias. We had a pretty good selection of them.
That's a little succulent.
Yeah, little succulent rosette has a really cute little flower on it too. Had quite a few of those. And from Monrovia in Oregon, something that we don't get very often at all. They're budded up, but they haven't started blooming yet. Rhododendrons, true rhododendrons.
I thought I was going to say Bach.
Bach.
No, yes. Gorgeous. They're gorgeous trees or shrubs.
Yeah, it's a really pretty plant. Little challenging here. I mean, but they can be grown.
Treat them like a blueberry.
There you go.
And you should be successful.
We're going to go down to Chula Vista where Alan is waiting. Good morning, Alan. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Doing good. Hey, I just have a comment or maybe a question about about 3 months ago, maybe 4 months ago, I had a bad case of scale on my Eureka lemon tree.
Mm-hmm.
And I called in and you suggested spraying with horticultural oil.
Yes.
And had really good success. The tree is full of blossoms, but some areas of the tree where the scale was, the branches still look really rough and everything. But it looks like it's coming back. I just wonder, is there anything to be concerned about the appearance of the branches from the scale, previous scale?
Well, the tree has less foliage on it to protect the branches from sun, so you might want to whitewash it with some half-strength diluted water-based paint,
latex.
But I would go feed the heck out of it right now and encourage some growth so that the leaves will protect those branches from the sun. It's great that the flowers are coming out, and they should be followed very shortly by foliage.
Yeah, it already has fruit on. Of course, they're green lemons. But anyway, I'm really happy with the thing coming back. That tree is probably about 50 years old.
Excellent. That's how we got started with the guy in Oceanside.
Larry in Oceanside.
He was going to replace his tree because it didn't look good in a oil spray, and it came out beautifully. Cost us a sale of a tree, though.
Yeah.
So you use a whitewash?
A white water-based paint. white latex paint, and you can spray it, paint it on the branches to help reflect the sun if there's not much leaf cover on those on your tree.
Okay. Is that going to be any, beneficial to a tree or harmful to a tree in any way?
Well, it's beneficial. In that it reflects the sun, so you won't burn the branches. If you want, you can just do the upper surfaces and the western surfaces of the tree.
Okay, good. I'll give it a try.
Okay.
Very good.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome, Alan. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, too.
Quick recap of the classes coming up.
Well, you would ask.
Sorry, today.
There we go.
In
San Diego at 9 o'clock, it's garden bed preparation with Richard. And in Poway, it's How Orchids Rebloom with Chuck McClung. And he will be doing a book signing after the class as well. Both should be very good, very good classes if you're looking for something to do this morning.
I just received a text from Charles Carpenter who says, Bengals, ? He's got his money on the Rams.
Of course, he's a Southern California guy.
Yeah.
I get it.
Okay.
It's okay.
You're okay with that?
Oh, yeah.
All right, well.
I'm okay with him rooting for whoever he wants to root for.
You've been listening to Garden.
Wrong.
You've been listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We'll be back next Saturday morning with another hour of Garden Talk. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.